The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Hanno Pengelly, Chief Executive Officer of Nkandezi Energy, NCCL is the ticker. Hanno, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm just looking back there. The last time we talked was April 2019, and I know the business has transitioned a bit more recently, so we'll discuss some of the news in detail. But before we go into that, Hanno, if no one listened back then and have not been kept up to date, could you just summarise what Nkandezi is about at the moment, please?
Sure. So Nkandezi Energy is a power development company focused on developing power projects in Africa, predominantly Mozambique. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, our attention is very much focused on a large-scale 300-megawatt solar PV plus battery storage project in the Tet province of Mozambique.
Yeah, yeah. And you released some news yesterday on that, the positive solar feasibility draft delivered. Explain what's going on here and where you're at with this.
Sure. So, you know, as you say, it's been a while since we last spoke. Quite a lot has happened. As early as about this time last year, Nkandezi finished commissioning a small-scale solar and battery storage project in Mozambique. We believe it to be the largest fully off-grid system that was delivered at that stage in the country. And from that work, we really, you know, we looked at what was going on in the renewable energy space. We looked at the amount of sort of investor interest and capital availability that was in the space alongside with really sort of government initiatives to develop and install more renewable energy on the grid. And we basically looked at our existing coal-fired project and the work that we'd done there and looked to see to what extent we could utilize that development work to look at a solar plant plus battery storage project. And really, we started this process in earnest, or at least we told the market about it in about May of this year. That we were going to launch a feasibility study following some preliminary work that was completed earlier. And today, the announcement yesterday basically confirms the positive results that we're seeing in the study, very much in line with earlier projections. And, you know, really what this does is it's now sort of ensuring that we have a credible, viable project. As I say, we're looking at 300 megawatts developed in phases. The study looked at various phases from 30 to 300 megawatts and to understand what was the optimum sort of phasing structure. And with that, I know everybody talks about solar in Africa and assumes, well, you know, there's plenty of sunshine there, it should work. And to some extent, that is true, but there is still some work one needs to do to confirm whether the specific site conditions are conducive to generating solar. As well as what it's going to cost to actually deliver a project in the middle of Africa and run that project. And the FS results basically confirm that we've got very strong solar resources, which is great. The site location that we're looking at putting the plant, we were able to, again, utilize existing work that we did with the previous project to fast-track this work and identify a preferred site. And fortunately, the feasibility studies confirm that there's no fatal flaws with that site location, and both that with the solar resource and the positive site location, you know, that allows us to use standardized equipment, which brings down the cost of both installation and operations. And we were also able to, you know, with this work, better understand how we can look to extract economies of scale. And basically confirmed that the ideal starting position is about 100 megawatts. And we believe that by starting at that size, we can extract up to 20 to 30% savings on the CapEx. And that's very important because, you know, that will feed into our financial model and our tariff. And, you know, those economies of scale allow us to put forward what we believe will be a more competitive tariff to other potential or competing projects in the region, which are typically looked at much smaller scale projects, about 30 to 60 megawatts. Again, very, very positive from that. In addition, we have looked at battery storage. We have experience in battery storage. We understand the pros and cons. We've identified sort of lithium ion batteries as the preferred technology, which is, it shouldn't be a major surprise given the maturity of that technology. But really the sizing of that can now will be further understood when we talk to off-takers and we understand exactly what their requirements are. But overall, as I say, very positive. This will now feed into our financial model to produce a tariff, which we can go and talk to off-takers. I think importantly for investors, it will also allow us to update our valuation expectations. Again, we're going on the basis that at the moment the results pretty much in line with previous guidance. But again, that's subject to confirmation from the models, et cetera, but that's what we're aiming for. In addition to the feasibility study, we've also completed a transmission update study, basically looking at how this project will connect to the grid and transmit power to the various off-takers. We were able to take advantage of previous work done on the other project. It allows us, again, to fast-track this work. We assess six different options, which again, positive in that there's many ways in which we can get power onto the grid. We've identified two preferred options, and we're now working with the relevant local authorities to get approval on the grid connection that works best for the project. And really, that neatly leads us into what's next for the project. With the feasibility study largely complete, and sorry, we stated in the release it's in draft form. Just to state that it is pretty much finalized. The commercial terms are what they are now. It's really just a final review from Nkondesi and some of its advisors. But we expect that to be done imminently. And we now can turn our attention to finalizing our model, our tariff, our valuation, and going out and starting to talk to the off-takers and getting sort of soft commitments on how much power people are wanting to take. We see no reason why the project shouldn't be well received. There are lots of people looking to secure additional sustainable renewable energy. And, this is a project that's at an advanced stage, able to move quickly, and, as I said before, can take advantage of some economies of scale, which can result in a more competitive tariff offering to off-takers. So, all sort of positive news flow that we're expecting in the month of November, and as I said, very excited to provide updates on this.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned there that, the results to be presented to sort of relevant local authorities. And do you expect that to be favourable?
Yes. Before we started the feasibility study, we did the rounds with our pre-feasibility study work to explain what we were looking to do. And, the feasibility study scope was basically blessed by the relevant authorities to move forward. And I think coming back with positive results, at the end of the day, everyone just wants to see projects that are viable, can move quickly, and provide a competitive tariff. And, this project ticks all of those boxes. And with the feasibility study, as I say, we now have something credible to sort of back up all the statements. So, again, very exciting times.
Yeah. And you also mentioned, further to the announcement made on the 30th of September, careful cash management has extended the working capital runway to November. We're now in November, and you say the company needs and intends to secure additional funding before the end of this month. And so how is that going?
So, look, this is nothing new. I think it's important to highlight to people that are maybe new to the stock or haven't been following the news. As early as January, we indicated to the market that we had enough cash until the end of June. We've been able to successfully extend that to the end of November through careful cash management, board contributions or investments into the company, as well as salary reductions. Where I think that's very important is that basically allowed us to, with that extended period, conduct the feasibility study and be able to, as I say, in the coming weeks, deliver an updated tariff and valuation, which, in my view, we basically bought ourselves time to de-risk the Nkondesi investment proposition in that we will have a full feasibility study and credible numbers to back up that value proposition. That in our view has put is putting us in the best possible position to negotiate a good deal for the company. We have been in negotiations with various parties since before June. The company has, I think, a good track record of looking at both the market as well as its board and and key shareholders at different funding instruments that work for different periods. And we are actively exploring all of those options. And again, we will look to select the option that's the best deal for shareholders. But again, to highlight, this is not something new that's come as a shock to the company. This is rather just an extension that's allowed us to de-risk. And again, I think I'm quite positive in that, you know, our negotiating position with all of this work behind us is much better for the company in terms of securing a good deal. And I'm fairly confident we'll get something done before the end of the month that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just covering quickly, you know, your transition from the coal side of things, the asset there, how's that going?
So, we provided an update on that, I think, a couple of weeks ago. As we said, due to the delays in understanding where financing would come for a coal-fired power station, and that largely being out of our control, we have looked to take sort of greater control of our own destiny with that asset. A lot of work has been done with that asset over the last 10 years. There's a fairly sizable resource there, a 4 billion ton coal resource. And as I'm sure people can see with the global situation, there is sort of increasing demand for energy security. And that is filtered down into, you know, large demand for coal again. And we've seen record export thermal coal prices. So I think our timing in terms of looking to do something else with the asset, where it be finding a new strategic partner to actually develop that asset or to sell the asset, I think this is all well timed. And we're not dealing with something that's early stage. You know, this is an asset that, as I said, has a dual coal resource. It has a mining concession, has all the various permits in place to start mining. And we believe that, you know, the right partner or new owner, you know, would look to take advantage of a fairly large coal resource that they can extract fairly quickly. In terms of that process, it's still very much early days, but we will provide an update to the market as soon as we have something credible.
Mm-hmm. Marvelous stuff. Okay. I know you probably remember this, but if you could, three reasons why someone should hit that follow button and add Nkondesi to their watch list, please.
So I think the first thing is that we are in a very exciting sector, being both in energy as well as renewable energy in Africa. I think that positions us basically in line for sort of a very attractive market where significant investment demand as well as energy needs need to be satisfied. In addition, this is an advanced stage project. Although we've transitioned from fossil fuels to renewable energy, we've been able to leverage existing development work to fast track a feasibility study. And as I say, with some fairly positive news in the coming weeks. And the final thing, it sort of flows from that last point, is that we've got near-term news flow, which should firm up our value proposition and further de-risk the project. And if I can just add to that, I think what's getting us very excited as a company is in completing this transition, we really have opened up the doors to, you know, new investors, new financiers, new EPCs who would look to build the project, who, you know, have all come forward alongside existing partners we've talked to in the past. And I think that's all sort of indicating was a positive reflection that, we have transitioned the company into the right place at the right time and can hopefully, as I say, put ourselves in front of this wall of investor demand and money to move the project forward.
Excellent stuff. Hanno, good to chat to you, and hopefully we catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.